Hello, my name's Christiana and welcome to the Oceanside Community Church podcast. We're a church in Park Salon, Vancouver Island, with a vision to be fully devoted children of God, fully mature in Jesus Christ, and fully alive with the Holy Spirit. We welcome you to join us weekly on this journey. For more information about our church, visit our website at oceansidecommunitychurch.ca or download our mobile app. We pray that you'll be blessed and equipped by today's teaching.
Well, good morning, everybody. I hope your heart is ready this morning to continue our Advent series and to receive the peace of Christ. What does it mean to be filled with peace? What would that look like or feel like? Is it possible in an age of anxiety and worry, fear and division, where lack of peace seems to be the rule of the day? Is it possible to be filled with peace, to find true peace? As you heard read, Jesus is prophesied in the Old Testament in Isaiah 9:6 as the prince or the ruler of peace. And then Zechariah in the New Testament is filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesies that he will guide our feet into the path of peace. So what might it look like to be ruled by the Prince of Peace and be guided by him into the path of peace? And that is my goal this morning, to bring you to the Prince of Peace, who will fill you with peace and guide you in the path of peace. And I imagined if I asked or took a survey this morning of, you know, would you like to experience more peace in your life, the results would probably be close to 100%. But the peace may not be what we think it is. The problem is we often look to all the wrong places and people and things for peace, even Christian peace. So we must determine what won't fill us with peace and what will fill us. So seeing as it's Christmas time, and this is an Advent or Christmas themed series, I thought I'd sort of teach what does and doesn't fill us with peace through the lens or somewhat of a comparison between Santa and Jesus, what I'll call Santa's be good system and Jesus' by grace system. And even though the comparison, of course, is somewhat silly in a way, and this message actually couldn't be more simple, this is incredibly serious stuff. And I believe a representation of the choices or two ways of thinking that are set before us of what we trust in and what will fill us with peace. In fact, there's not a Christian teaching more important, really, than what I'm going to share with you this morning, for it is the foundation of the good news of the gospel. But let's start with talking about what won't fill us with peace, what we're calling Santa's be good system. So not to pick on Santa too much here, but we do need to be aware that the Santa system is in kind of direct opposition to how Jesus and the Christian gospel operates. For whereas, you know, Santa's be good system produces great anxiety and confusion, kind of the opposite of peace, Jesus by grace system is able to provide true peace. And this is not specifically about Santa, of course, as much as it is about the kind of system that kind of thinking represents. So I'm just using it as a fun example or idea of a way of thinking that is actually quite prevalent in our society and in people's worldview and spirituality, even Christian thinking. So let's talk about how Santa's system produces lack of peace and communicates really all the wrong messages when compared with Jesus. And so I'm very sorry to all you Santa lovers out there, but Santa represents some very bad theology. At its core is a works-based system. Have you been good? Then you'll receive gifts. Have you been bad? Might expect a lump of coal. Our family was at the Qualicum Beach light-up night this past week, and of course Santa made an appearance in the town square, and he was going around, and his message was extremely singular. Have you been good? Have you been naughty or nice? Have you been a good little boy? Have you been a good little girl this year? And then based on their answer would be whether or not they thought they deserved any gifts. And asking those kinds of questions, such as, have you been good? The problem with this from a Christian perspective is it's a works-based theology, and it actually, as I'll explain soon, is the antithesis of how Jesus treats us. And it's representative of a teaching and a system of belief that is everywhere, which is namely this: as long as you're a pretty good person, as long as your good outweighs the bad, you'll be fine. You'll get into heaven, or you'll be reincarnated as a wealthy person rather than a poor person, or a beautiful horse rather than a pig or a frog. It's a karma type of system. If you do good, good things will come to you. If you do bad, well, watch out. You're going to get what you deserve. And studies and surveys show us that most people, even Christians, believe in some sort of karma-based system. So friends, I know Santa seems innocent on the surface, but the truth is it's ironically the opposite message of Christmas and what Jesus represents. It's based on a system of performance and fairness. Just a side note, produces confusion in kids because, you know, some kids in wealthy environments, you know, Santa brings iPads and bicycles, and to other kids in poorer situations, he may bring toothbrushes and socks, and those kids may wonder if they've done something wrong. But even more than that, I guess I'm just kind of going all in here this morning on picking on Santa. But, you know, this is a teaching moment, so allow this kind of brief tangent here. But the reason, and this is important, the reason I have trouble with teaching your kids about Santa is it erodes trust between parents and kids, because eventually the kids find out that they've been lied to and betrayed. And I actually know lots of stories where kids make the logical connection that if you told me about Santa, who I believe is always watching me, but whom I can't see, and he turns out not to be real, then what does that mean for Jesus, who I believe is always with me, but whom I can't see? Right? It creates potential trust issues. And of course, the other thing is just, why bother with Santa? Right? Who needs Santa when you have Jesus? It's sort of a way to take the focus off of Jesus, and to be quite honest, it's just something people are more comfortable with, kind of like the Easter Bunny. A part of the allure of Santa is to make the season more magical, but I mean, come on, we already have the best story in the world. Why bother with something else? A few years ago, I had a Christian parent explain to me that they couldn't be at one of our Advent Christmas services because that was the only time they could get an appointment at the mall to go see Santa. And there's just a disconnect there, right, between what the focus should be. But the reality is Santa's be good system produces more anxiety than it does peace. For how do I know I've been good enough? Will I still be loved based on what I've done, whether good or bad? And some people want to trust a system like this to give them peace, saying, well, you know, I've been a good person. Not perfect, but more good than bad. I do good things. I give money. I don't steal. I don't cheat on my spouse. I report most of my income on my taxes. I drive an electric vehicle. I recycle. I think I'm overall a pretty good person, and I will be okay. But that thinking doesn't produce true and lasting peace, for how can we possibly know how good is good enough? And we can look to, you know, all kinds of other examples that we might look to for peace, to feel peace in this world. You know, I saw a commercial recently for Lincoln cars. And it shows all of these stressful situations. There's somebody running to work and they spill coffee all over their dress or whatever, and then there's screaming kids and there's chaos in a house, and then it breaks to Matthew McConaughey driving down the highway in a Lincoln. And his voiceover comes over. Can't make this stuff up. And he says, "When you're driving a Lincoln, stress just seems to evaporate into thin air." What? If only I knew this whole time all I needed was a Lincoln, and all my problems could have been solved. And the message is, true peace is found in driving a nice car free from the cares of this world. And it sounds ridiculous, of course, but friends, advertisers are not dumb. They make a lot of money. If they thought it wouldn't work and wouldn't appeal to us, they wouldn't do it. And I could give all kinds of examples of false systems of peace, but let's get to the good news. What will then fill us with peace? Let's talk about Jesus by grace system. Whereas performance-based be good systems such as Santa's produce anxiety and worry and never knowing if we're good enough, Jesus by grace system offers the most amazing and most true peace. And that is this, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And this system stands in juxtaposition and direct contradiction to the Santa system and all systems like it. The reason Jesus' system is one of peace is because we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are good in his sight, because it has nothing to do with us, what we've done, only what he has done. The perfect life he lived, which began at the cradle in Bethlehem and ended at the cross, where he died to take away all of our sins, that perfect life becomes ours when we put our faith in Christ. We can have assurance that our sins are forgiven no matter how good or bad we've been. And we don't have to worry or be afraid, for we know we are accepted and at peace with God through what Jesus did for us. See, the punishment we deserve for our sin, Jesus paid it himself on the cross, where all the wrath of God was poured on him instead of us. So when we put our faith in Christ, our sins are washed away by his shed blood. We are made clean and we are forever forgiven and accepted into the forever family of God. Whereas in the Santa system, it's all about fairness, getting what you deserve or don't deserve. But in Jesus' system of grace, we don't get what we deserve, which is punishment for our sin and separation from God. Instead, we get what we don't deserve: forgiveness, grace, eternal life. And it's why peace is just such a huge theme or concept throughout the New Testament. The most common biblical word for peace in the New Testament is eirene. And part of its definition is this: it's the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing, and content no matter what this life may bring. What a great test of whether or not I have true Christian peace. Is my soul in a tranquil state? Because it is so assured of its salvation through Christ that I fear nothing, and I am content no matter what this world may bring. See, the Bible's definition of peace usually has nothing to do with outward circumstances. Biblical or Christian peace is not about the absence of turmoil. It's not driving carefree in a Lincoln down the highway. Christian peace goes way deeper. It's knowing that my soul is secure, that there's nothing I can do to make God love me more or less. I can have peace and assurance of salvation. And it's why we often say Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. I don't need anything else. I am truly free in Christ. And just one example of how getting this brings true peace and frees us from fear and torment and anxiety, I always think of 16th century reformer Martin Luther, and we've covered his story in a biography message, but for years to him, Jesus was like Santa Claus. Luther lived in constant anxiety and fear about his eternal state, whether or not he was good enough, had done enough. He was trusting in his works until he began reading the scriptures and realized it is by faith alone in Jesus that he could actually be good enough. And the way Luther beautifully describes it is that knowing that now freed him actually to do even more good works with joy, because he didn't have to worry anymore about whether it would be good enough. He was now free to love God and neighbor without worry of whether it was enough or earning acceptance from God. He had found peace in his soul. And it's why Jesus' life and ministry is described as one of peace and bookended by pronouncements of peace. He's foretold by Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament to be the Prince of Peace. He's announced by Zechariah before his birth as the one who will guide our feet into the path of peace through the forgiveness of sins. And then when the resurrected Christ appears to the disciples on the way at the end of his earthly time, he says in Luke 24:36, it says, Jesus stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And in the time in between, Jesus told people that they could live in peace when they put their trust in him, no matter what they've done, no matter how chaotic or sinful their life has been. That's why he can say to the prostitute who wets Jesus' feet with her tears and wipes them with her hair in Luke 7:50, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." It's why when the woman subject to bleeding for 12 years reaches out in faith and touches Jesus, he says in Luke 8:48, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." The disciples, the prostitute woman, the woman with the chronic medical condition, these weren't people who lived turmoil-free, carefree lives. That's not the peace Jesus gave them. In fact, many of them, most of them, would end up imprisoned, persecuted, even being killed for their faith. That's not the world's definition of peace. Christian peace through Jesus is that even in times of unrest, chaos, where the world around me feels like it's crumbling, constantly changing, pandemics, restrictions, when I'm in despair, situations as serious as facing death and as silly as adjusting to Windows 11, in all situations, I can still be at peace in my soul because I know I am right with God through the gift of grace and salvation given to me through Christ. It is worth an amen. This is our gospel. And this frees us from all fear, anxiety, and unrest. For what can anyone or anything do to us if we have Christ on our side and our eternity is secure in him? And nothing perhaps communicates this truth to us more, perhaps nowhere do we experience this peace more than at this table together. And I believe it's why Jesus asked us to do this regularly, that he wanted us to remember, to not forget how it is that we have peace.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, or download our mobile app for more content. If you're in the area, we hope to see you soon. Until next time, may the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you as you live by His Spirit.